Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to wrap up this week talking about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. We've received some readings this week from the church, and the Gospels today is an example of that from Matthew chapter 9, where Jesus is gathering his disciples, and people are saying they want to follow him, and Jesus is helping all of us, as we read this, count the cost of what it means to become his disciple. To be a Christian, the kind of the central point I've been trying to make all week is, it's a simple one, a clear one, but it's one that seems to escape so many people. And that is that to be a Christian means you are a disciple. You're not a Christian until you become a disciple. And a disciple is someone who has said yes to Jesus in a total and radical way and has had that initial conversion where from the will, our heart, soul, mind, and will, we say yes to Jesus to say, my life is no longer my own. I belong to you. I am all in. I'm following you now, Jesus. You set the pace for my life. You set the priorities for my life. And now I'm living every day to please you. You know, some people describe it this way. I'm living for an audience of one in my whole life. It doesn't matter where I am, whether I'm a housewife at home, whether I'm a teacher at school, whether I'm the president of the United States, whether I'm LeBron James, whatever, wherever I am in life, I'm living for an audience of one. My first aim is to please the Lord and to say yes to him. So that's not the exception. That's the rule. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. That's the bar that Jesus set. Now, he knows we fall short of that. But as we begin, what he wants to know is he looks us right in the eye and he says to us, what is it you want? He asks us that question. What is it you want? Who do you say I am? And what do you want from me? Do you want to become my follower? Is that what you want? Okay. If you want to become my follower, this is what it means. We don't say, Jesus, I'm your follower, and then we do it on our terms the way we want to do it. It doesn't work that way. We haven't fundamentally said, Jesus, I'm all in. I'm a sinful man, and I repent of my sin, and I'm weak, but I'm trusting that you will help me. But what I want you to know, Jesus, is I am all in right now. I want to follow you. I don't want any more barriers. I don't want to live under the dominion of my own flesh anymore, my own passions. I don't want to be dominated by all my own fears and my desires and my self-will. I don't want the world to set the pace for me. I don't want to love other idols. I don't want to, you know, serve money and power and position and fame. I don't want that. I want you. I want to please you. I want to obey you. And I want you, Jesus, to make me everything you intended me to be from the beginning. So today, we see here in Matthew 9, verse 9 and following, is the call of Matthew, the tax collector, the great sinner, right? The one everybody hates. And the passage says this, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the customs post. He said to him, follow me. What a great scene. Here's the tax collector sitting at his post. He's got to be a pretty tough character to be a tax collector. You got to have a pretty thick hide because pretty much everybody hates you. And he's probably got lots of greed, and he's probably proud and arrogant, pretty confident in who he is. And Jesus walks by, looks at him. Well, while others may be cursing Matthew, talking behind his back, Jesus looks right at him, and their eyes meet. And Jesus says two words, follow me. Follow me. It's an invitation to become his disciple. Matthew knew what that meant because he saw master-disciple relationships all around him in the people in Jerusalem, in Israel. The reading goes on and said, and he got up and followed him. How about that? He got up and followed him. You know, there's many people who are baptized today who might have gone to church for many years and they still haven't gotten up to follow him. They've gotten up, but they're following something else for the most part. Remember what Jesus said Lots of people are going to say, Lord, Lord, when they stand before me. And they're going to expect to get into the kingdom of God. And Jesus is going to say, I don't even know you. And they're going to say, what do you mean? I believed in you. I said, Lord, Lord. But then Jesus is going to look at him and say, did you do my will? Did you really follow me? Did you follow my teaching, my instruction, my plan for your life? Was that on your radar at all? And in an instant, we're going to know the truth. And all the charade, the masking that we do of our real heart is going to get revealed. And we'll see in an instant what we bent our knee to, what we loved the most, what we served the most. Whether it's going to be my own ego, money, sex, power, the world itself, Satan, whatever. We're going to see it in an instant. Jesus will make it known. But here we see Matthew got up and followed him. While he was at table in his house, Jesus went into Matthew's house, this unclean guy. Many tax collectors and sinners came and sat with Jesus and his disciples. So the disciples followed Jesus, according to this reading, to that table. And the religious leaders, the teachers, the Pharisees, they saw this. And they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? What's he doing? These people are unclean. Jesus knew where the Pharisees were at. He wanted to teach Matthew something. He wanted to teach the Pharisees something. He wanted to teach the disciples something in this scene. So Jesus heard this and he said to them, those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. Go and learn the meaning of the words, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. The righteous, the Pharisees don't know yet that they're sinners, but Jesus is saying, I've come to seek and save the lost. You know what he's saying? He's sitting at table with Matthew and the other tax collectors. And sometimes people say, Jesus never would judge anybody. He would never judge. Jesus knows, he judges all of us. Jesus knows every one of us is a sinner and stands in need of forgiveness of our sins. He loves us and he wants to show mercy to us. But what does he say? He said, he's sitting with the tax collectors and the Pharisees are saying, why is he sitting there? And Jesus said, because he's a physician who's come for the sick. So he's diagnosing the condition of Matthew and his friends. They're sick. They're spiritually sick. They need their sins forgiven. They need salvation. They need God. And Jesus has mercy on them and he loves them and that's why he's there. And he wants his disciples to see that. But he also wants the Pharisees to understand that they're offering sacrifices in the temple, they're teaching the law. Jesus said, the heart of the law is God's mercy. And he wants to show mercy to Matthew and to his friends. And he wants to bring them to repentance and conversion. So it's important to see Matthew is becoming a disciple here. He got up and he followed Jesus. He got up from his table and he followed the master. And that's what he did for the rest of his life. He didn't call the shots. He didn't keep living in the world in the sense of he didn't keep cheating people. He became a follower of Jesus. The church exists to call people to repentance. And you can't call people to repentance if you're not willing to be honest about sin. Everybody needs to have their sins forgiven. Every single person. And you are a unfulfilled human being and an unforgiven human being until you say yes to Jesus and follow him. I came across a little reflection from Benedict XVI or Cardinal Ratzinger from a book called God and the World. He was talking about these two simple words, follow me. He was reflecting on characters from Christian history, in particular St. Francis of Assisi, and how this saying yes to the two words of Jesus, follow me, from the heart, when we do it from the heart and we mean it, the amazing things that God can accomplish. And here's what he said. He said, I think we have to see how fruitful, how productive the saying of Christ, follow me in the radical sense has been, how it has given rise over and over again to so many new impulses and new solutions. And it is the hope of the church, now as ever, that wherever she becomes ordinary and is in danger of falling, new awakenings will come from within by the power of the Holy Spirit. Awakenings that no one has planned, but that spring up from people blessed with grace and that bring forth new fruits from the ever-fruitful gospel. If you've listened to the program over the years, you've heard me say many times, quoting Christopher Dawson, that the church has an infinite capacity for regeneration. People are disturbed as we look across the church. Wow, Boston has reduced the number of its parishes over the last decade from 330 to 120. Pittsburgh just went from 177 or something down to 58. Chicago is on its way, I think, to reducing from over 400 to probably under 200. Who knows? I mean, we see this dramatic downsizing going on, people leaving the church, and people are alarmed, and they're scared, and they're frightened, and all kinds of voices in the church say, oh, it's because we're out of touch with society. We got to change our teaching. And almost always that means changing teaching around the whole area of human sexuality and expecting the church to genuflect to the world and to conceding that the world somehow has the wisdom of what male and female is and family is and what the meaning of human sexuality is. That's nuts. That's insane. That's a lie. That's not the way forward. The way forward is what we've been talking about all week long. What is it you want? Do you want the sexual revolution? Is that what you want? You can't have both. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. You're going to hate the one, love the other. There's just, and with the issues that are here today in the culture, there's a great divide that's coming. And Jesus is testing hearts. And what's being revealed is what people actually want and who it is they want to follow. If we do what Matthew did, if we get up and really follow Jesus, the way John Paul II and Cardinal Ratzinger and Maricakis and others have, as I've read all week long, as Jesus himself said, if you put nothing before me and my life, my teaching, my mission, if it's first in your life and I'm the great love of your life, watch me bear fruit through you as I transform you. The church is not bearing fruit in many places in the culture today because too many of the baptized are compromised. They're unconverted. They're not yet disciples. I mean, their priests might recognize them as disciples because they come to church on occasion, or they might give some money to the church. But you're not really Christian until you come to the point where you make this decision from the core of your being, from your heart, from the seat of your decision, from your will. Jesus, forgive me for all my sin. You're my Lord. You're my master. I'm all in. I want to follow you, Jesus. Friends, that's what needs to happen for the church to be the church today in this time. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.